With us right now, America's princess, Di, the princess of policy, Diana Mee. Welcome on this special edition, the September 11th edition of the James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly Show. How are you, Diana?
Well, I have been really sobered by your show. It's very emotional to hear and to remember, and I appreciate all that you've been saying and your callers have been saying. I just wanted to say one number. We hear that almost 3,000 Americans were killed that day, and there's another number that doesn't get as often said, and that is up to 25,000 people did get out and were rescued thanks to the sacrifice of over 300 of these wonderful first responders who it was their last mission. And so that is their legacy of how many were saved. I just love remembering that part too.
Wow. That made me a little teary because that you said it right. That was their last mission. Their last mission was first responders saving lives of people and sacrificing their own lives. And that happened. This is real. That happened. Diane, I have never been able to forget what one of my friends that works in the network. You've met him before.
Right.
And what he told me, because he was there and he was watching the footage real time. And he said what he saw that was coming in from the feeds that did not make the air. He said immediately he knew it would never be seen because it was so. And people in those control rooms in our networks were traumatized. And I don't say that lightly, by what they were seeing. And they knew that the public would be traumatized if they actually saw it. And so that footage has never been allowed to be seen of what really took place in detail there.
Well, you remember that one. It's a famous photo. It was an AP photo. Now has a name. It's called Falling Man.
Falling Man, yes.
Yes, that ran one time the day after and then never again because it was deemed inappropriate, too emotional, would upset the families. And so that photograph, which it does, you cannot help but have an emotion as you observe this fellow American who had only one choice between death and death. And to see, you know, this stark human life just going to God is just one of those things that really, I think, that the media tried to stamp out. I think one of the reasons that our own motto, Never Forget, has been tainted is because the media has purposely not allowed the emotional photos, the emotional moments. And so, therefore, there's a lot of people like the young woman on your staff who really were too young to experience it and have never felt the emotion because it hasn't been conveyed by the media.
Right. And you know what? See, this
so
is why.
Thank you for today.
Well, thank you. But this is why. Look, I read some of the accounts, too. And we will take some more of your calls, by the way. 848-WABC is the number to call, 800-848-WABC. But look, I read the accounts. And when Diana, people say, okay, a plane crashed into the building. Well, wait a minute. What the hell does that mean? A plane crashed into the building, and the result was the ignition of the jet fuel, which then splattered across these entire floors and soaked people, created a 3,000-degree inferno inside those buildings. So those people who were lucky enough to burn up instantly in 3,000-degree heat didn't feel it. Those people who were on the outer edges of that 3,000-degree heat, who were feeling heat like none of us have ever experienced in our lives, had one choice. Either I jump the hell out of this window and I know I'm going to die, or I stay here and deal with this horrifically painful death that is going to drag on and on. That's not a choice that any human being should be asked to make. And let me go further. When you look at what ISIS did, and we forget about this, you look at the way that they gleefully engaged in murder and mayhem, locking people in cages and submerging them into hot oil, locking people in cages and submerging them to be eaten by other animals, creating assembly lines of beheading, where one after another beheaded and throwing people's heads into stacks and piles. You look at who these people are and what they did. And what has now happened in the United States, where we have just given Afghanistan over after so many lives so that it could all happen again, is incredibly ridiculous, which is why I don't care whether Joe Biden's down there on showbiz today commemorating 9/11. He and his administration are setting up the grounds for the next one.
You're absolutely right. And that event was such a wound for the rest of us who helplessly watched this happen on our TV screens or locally. And that the only response that we all had was to immediately put up an American flag, to hold an American flag, to have an American. That was wordless. And that was hated by the left. They were so angry and they tried to get it to stop. But they were overwhelmed. People didn't even pay a bit of attention to the criticism of the use of the flag.
Right.
And I have a sentence that I read, I just read again, that I wrote then. And this was of the time. Leftists everywhere are adrift. They are torn between what is to them two evils, America and the Taliban. They cannot side with one against the other because there are no moral absolutes. This was 20 years ago. They felt that America and the Taliban were morally equal. And look what happened 20 years later. Those same people who could not distinguish morally between America and the Taliban have now surrendered to the Taliban, because that is the philosophical underpinning of what we're seeing today. Is
right.
There is no difference. America is not exceptional. Why not let these guys be? And they are. They're treating them with utmost respect, more so than they're treating Americans who are unvaccinated.
They're treating them more respect than they treat American police officers, who they can't stand. American, as Joe Biden says, and I'm losing my patience with those of you who are unvaccinated, and therefore we're going to sick the government on you. I mean, this is just, yeah. Now, let me ask you quickly about Sean. You know, I read the BizPack Review story, and it said Sean Spicer goes off. Now, those words alone got me. I'm like, Sean Spicer went off on somebody? And Sean Spicer went off on Psaki, because Psaki, I mean, she and Biden, they're stripping these people that have served their country honorably from committees like West Point and some of the other committees. And I talked about how evil this was and unfair, and then you told me, well, I have a different view of it. And so what is your view of it?
Well, I am not defending it. I'm saying that Spicer is correct to be angry and hurt. He wrote a piece yesterday in Real Clear Politics, and he put his finger on it. He said the reason that the Biden administration is doing this, they removed 18 Trump appointees from the three basic academies. They want to inject far-left ideology such as critical race theory into the curriculum of the service academies without pushback. That is exactly right. He nailed the reason, and he nailed what we're seeing. And in my view, this is what's lost when the Republicans are in power. The left cleans house. You remember Clinton and his firing of the
92 U.S. attorneys day one, almost. It was day two or three, actually, but whatever. You're all fired.
Yes, and this is something that he paid no political price for, and the left does without apology when they are in power. They put their people in all – they use the levers of power that they have. And interestingly enough, and I hope you get a chance to read it, there is an article in The Federalist today, Why Democrats Are Always Winning Even When They Lose, which explains a lot of the reasons for this. Democrats are willing to lose bodies, and I mean that politically. They will fight for what they want. They will push and shove and implement it over everything. They will roll over everything. Say Obamacare, and they then pay a political price. They don't care. It's worth it. Whereas Republicans, when they're in power, they push pause and they don't tackle any difficult issues because they might lose bodies. They might lose people who are in office. And so they do a prevent defense the whole time. Remember, Nancy Pelosi lost her gavel over what? Obamacare. But Obamacare won, and she is back. So therefore, wow, they are way more willing to go to the battle, to fight the battle, which in my opinion is what you're seeing with Biden's patience wearing thin speech. His poll numbers were a problem. And so what do the Democrats feel most happy doing? What do they relish? Battle. And so he gave that speech, which was deliberately provocative. He is taking on the Republican governors on purpose. They had a guy who, Cedric Richmond, who was basically a spokesperson, saying these governors that stand in the way, the president will run over them.
That's exactly right.
They want this battle. They want this fight, and they are bringing it. And our side is shocked when we lose these little posts that are given up presidentially. We need to have that mindset of going to war.
Well, Diane and me, once again, nails it. And so we will look forward to speaking with you during the week. There's another story or two that we have to discuss. I want to get back to 9/11. But thank you so much for joining us, especially on this day. Diana,
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Talk with you during the week.